Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 13th of July, and I'm recording at 9:43 p.m., and that is British Summer Time here in London. Now, two versions here. First, the quickie one of the audio for people on the run, and then I'll come back and fill in some of the spaces here when I finish that. So, the big story here, EU, Greece, the torturous negotiations finally over. Who's the big winner? Well, I don't think it's the EU, and I certainly don't think it's Greece, but how about global stock markets? They were certainly affected by the uncertainty, and they have all enjoyed three strong days of rallies here, and albeit from some short-term oversold conditions. That has been impressive here. So what actually happened here today? Big gains here for starting with Japan, up over from between one and over, well, over 1.5%, nearly 2% in some cases on the Japanese indices. And China, gains of 2.5%. Here nearly for the Shanghai Composite Index, gains of well over 1% for the Hang Seng and HSCEI, so very strong there. But they're really packing in. Here's Taiwan, up 1.34%. South Korea, 1.49%. Poor Australia, down today, but only a third of a percentage point. India, up over 1% with good gains. And then they did Singapore, good day, up almost 1%. And then they become a little more modest. And New Zealand is also down in here today. Two indices with a reflecting a lot of commodity activity there overall. Okay, what about the European stock markets? Well, very strong here. And lots of gains over 1.5%. Including the Euro Stocks 50 and the French market up almost 2%, 1.5% for Germany, 1.7 for Spain. So really good gains in here. And I could there are more just like that, but I won't name them all. Now Wall Street also solid performance here. 1.22 for the Dow, 1.48 for the NASDAQ Composite. So that's, again, strong rally. Iconic Apple held at that critical 120 level, but it's only 125, I think 125.66. So it really does need to get up above 130 here to confirm a potentially important failed downward break. And moving on to government bonds. Well, when stock markets go up, what are they going to do these days? Those yields are also going to go up. So bond price is going down. U.S. 10-year up to 2.439. And then the VIX index, which had been flirting with 20 at the beginning of last week, well, it's really back under the table here at 14.05 tonight. And in currencies, that dollar index, that's looking strong, and that's currently at 96.79 as I speak. It's in the middle of its range of the last several months, but this is a little upward dynamic in here after several quiet days here overall. What's it up against? Well, the Canadian dollar is weak. The we're at there 1.2741 Canadian dollars to the U.S. The euro is softer, down to 1.10 sterling. Let's see if I can find sterling. Also a little lower, 1.5486. And the Australian dollar a little lower at 0.7406. dollar a fraction steadier against the Chinese renminbi and the Indian rupee. And the Japanese yen, last but not least, up to 123.46. That's helping Japan's impressive informed stock market. Okay, and crude oil, soft in here, 57.95 on the Brent, and as I speak, and the WTI from the US, 52.10. Precious metals, mixed, but they're still an underperforming sector here overall. Copper a fraction higher here today in New York. And the agricultural commodities, mostly a little bit higher in here. And, okay, that's the end of the very quick commentary. Now let me go back to these stock markets and fill in some of the spaces, as I said I would. Now, is there any other good news that could help these stock markets other than just this relief rally that the EU isn't going to break up and Greece isn't going to go into a downdraft and endless chaos? Well, there are these negotiations taking place, of course, between the US and Iran over the nuclear issues. Now, these are torturous as well, and likely to remain so, but we know that the Iranians really do want to export more oil, and that's the only trump card the U.S. holds. But of course, they're proud people as well, and their government doesn't want the U.S. snooping around and going in and inspecting all of their facilities. So how's this going to play out? My guess is we'll get a deal at some stage. And I don't think they'd be putting in all this time and so on if that wasn't very much the objective. But that would be positive. And not so much because it's a military threat here now, but because that would weaken the oil price a little further. So not so good for oil exporting countries, but certainly it would help to grease the wheels of the global economy a little bit additionally. So that could be quite important. And I think actually that's the main issue overall. Now, which of these stock markets look best? Well, where's the QE? I think we want to back that. So that's Europe, that's Japan, that's China, its own version of QE. A lot of people have been very alarmed by Japan, all kinds of draconian forecasts, as you will have heard, and not just recently, over the last several years. And probably more draconian forecasts in terms of what China was going to do and its stock market was going to do than for any other country or market. But still correcting that oversold condition overall. And Owen's got a good review on it in here today, or another review, I should say. He's done a lot of this commenting on some. That's only partially correct. He's working on another good review of it, but that won't be released until tomorrow. But other exciting copy produced today here, obviously. Okay, now, in terms of inform stock markets, my top three favorites here in the Asia Pacific region, I'll take among the big ones, I'll take Japan and China, although China will be like riding a roller coaster or worse, and India, definitely. So Vietnam also has been in favor here once again. Now, I've already mentioned the European markets. I'm a little more apprehensive about Wall Street here overall. You've got the interest rates going up. That's going to create later this year. That'll create a little bit of unease. Valuations a little bit higher here overall. And then there's that fact that we haven't had that 10% correction for God knows how many years now, which worries me a bit. But it has to be said, we're getting a good bounce here where a lot of these indices needed, from where a lot of these indices needed to bounce. So certainly it's removed the pressure for at least the short term. That's the way to put it. What about these government bonds? Well, I don't like them. I've said that for a very long time. And the bond investors have said no problem. They're seeing a rise in real returns, in total returns, I should say. But that chart's looking a bit shaky. The yields in the US, they're looking a bit basey, in other words, forming base formations. And I just think this is a slow motion bottoming out process for the yields, topping out process, of course, for the actual bond prices here. And unless you think that the world's going to go into some sort of long deflationary slump from here, then I don't think there's much potential. And I know we've had a lot of deflation, disinflation, a lot of very, very slow growth. Inflationary pressures are low. But if you think global economies over 6 years since the financial crisis, since the worst of the financial crisis, if you think that that's about the time when you can begin to expect growth to be picking up a little bit. My feeling is that over the next 2 or 3 years, we will see growth pick up. And if that is the case, those bond yields are certainly going to push higher. And how much lower can they actually go? So I just think if that gets delayed. So I just think that's a very, very risky area. And you can get a better yield in shares than you can on bonds. And that applies to a lot of the companies with with bond issues. So I'd rather have the higher yielding equities. Now, in terms of currencies, the view, quick view, is just the dollar here. Owen and I think it's entered a secular bull market largely because it ended rather its secular bear market towards the end of last year. But the Fed does not want a stronger dollar in here right now, and that's probably the Fed's biggest concern at this stage. And if we were to see quite a strong dollar, my feeling is it's more likely to range than not. But if there's a surprise, it's more than likely to be to the upside. Or if I'm surprised, it's more than likely to be to the upside. But a lengthy range would be preferable. A sharp rise in the dollar would put some borrowers under pressure, some other national borrowers who would have picked up dollars while all the QE was going, or borrowed dollars while all the QE was going on, and that is a potential. Well, that's certainly a risk out there if the dollar is too strong. Also, a too strong dollar is tough on U.S. corporate profits, and corporate profits have not been all that strong in recent quarters. So that is a headwind for Wall Street still. Okay, moving on. What are going to be the weakest currencies? Well, it's still the resources producers. And about these commodities, again, a lot of people are interested in precious metals. They're getting cheaper, but there's not a lot of interest in them at this stage. The technical patterns are dominated by overhead supply. Support keeps getting challenged. There are some sharp rallies periodically, but they're not maintained, leading to lower highs. I think the outlook here for the precious metals is that they're going to become more interesting. Of course, they're also commodities, and the commodity sector is underperforming here. A lot of that's due to technology, including for these precious metals. It's easier to produce these things more cheaply. And that industrial metal sector, those prices are still really quite depressed here. Incidentally, I think you know this, I've repeated it so many times, but it's a point worth emphasizing, that historically we get a very strong rally in industrial metals in the latter stages of bull market cycles. And now in the past, that's been because GDP growth is picking up, central banks are raising interest rates to head off inflationary pressures and overheating. And we don't have anything like that in here today. So maybe this bull market is not as long in the tooth as so many people seem to think it is. Okay. I think that's it on the key points. So, all the very best to all of you.